Welcome back, Dodecadorks. We're the 12-Sided Guys. We have Scott as Ornan.
At your service.
Sabrina as Sylvie.
Oh, hello.
Jordan as Mogrim.
You're most welcome.
Matt as Guy.
That is my name. Don't wear it out.
And me, Paul, as... We interrupt this non-award-winning podcast to bring you a special report. Good morning slash evening. I'm Roblox McGurkinen. The governor has issued a warning to anyone living in the Tri-County area that Patreon has level 6 character sheets for Wilhelm and Associates and has encouraged all residents to tell their friends about the 12-Sided Guys podcast. She has confirmed that an easy way to get the word out is with stickers on your own car window, bumper, or even on your laptop or Stanley water bottle, Hydro Flask, or Costco brand equivalent. Or Yeti.
Oh, yeah, we are in the Pacific Northwest, the Yetis.
Also, word from the state legislature earlier today is that your neighbor's potatoes is worth the price of admission, and they have counseled to stay indoors and listen to all of Campaign 1, the Crystal Codex, again. Lastly, on Capitol Hill, an emergency omnibus bill has just been sent to the president's desk to be signed that would make character buttons available in the 12sidedguys.com store and would encourage the Dungeon Master Paul to resume streaming on Twitch in the near future should his schedule allow for it. We will keep you posted. Once again, this is Roblox McGurkinen, and now back to your previously downloaded hilarious podcast. Be all like, Wizzle Wuzzle, then this podcast is for you. It's Forest of the Forsaken, episode 27.
That was beautiful.
That was pretty good. We got to add in like that, like beeping, like da 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 da. Like
I don't know, the puppets were really good. You guys didn't like my music. What's wrong with my music?
I didn't understand what it was until you started talking.
Yes. Yes. Well, welcome back to Via Severia in the city of Redlam. Last time we were together, our heroes, Wilhelm and Associates, were having a conversation with Professor Ironspark, one of the head archivists of the Prolean Archive, when he mentioned, hey, didn't I know you? Haven't I seen you before? And in a flashback, all of the characters remembered what exactly happened. Well, maybe not exactly happened.
He told us what he thought happened.
I'm pretty sure you guys were thinking yourself. You guys all thought back and you had this crazy memory of a couple of nights ago after you had survived your meeting with Baron Thorn Darkheart and you had celebrated by getting blasted. Well, apparently there was a show at a theater, and the lead, a woman named Daria, was a dead ringer for Sylvie. So the theater owner needed to hire Sylvie because somebody wanted Daria dead. So our heroes took the place of Daria on stage, as well as Wilhelm and Associates minus Sylvie, began investigating behind the scenes. And it was, I think that what Professor Ironspark said at the end of last episode is probably the best description of what happened. It was a show. Anyway, that is where we're at now. As you guys have all come back out of this memory, Professor Ironspark is standing there and he's like, yeah, well, that's something I'll never forget. Anyway, last we were talking, you said something about the town of Oak Road. Yeah.
Wait.
What?
My brain almost got eaten.
But okay. It was quite the show.
What's the saying? It's art? A work of art, or it didn't happen?
I believe it's a portrait, or it didn't happen.
That's right. That's the saying.
Well, you guys have been getting weird looks around town, I'm sure, right? As you guys think back, yeah, you have been getting weird looks around town, but it could be because you guys smell like poop and pee.
I thought it was the canary yellow plague outfit I was wearing.
No, we've seen a couple of those around town. That's actually quite fetching. It's the style right now.
It's just the style.
Well, anyway, as I was saying, I have heard the name Oak Road just within the last couple of weeks.
Just within the last couple of weeks?
Well, yes.
From who?
Well, you know that we archivists can't really a person's interest and a person's research are their own, so we don't really talk about that.
You got HIPAA laws here?
Yes, archivist client confidentiality. I've heard of this.
Yeah. Well, you guys should know. You guys are Wilhelm and Associates.
What if the research we're trying to do is to find out who was asking?
Well,
would that be a loophole that we could kind of loop into?
Well, we deal with,
is there a way
like
to deactivate incognito mode on you?
Yeah, aren't there cookies that we can look at?
I tell you what, I mean, you can come on in and I can see what we can find right now, but I can't let you see the research that was done, and I can't let you talk to the archivist who was working on it because, well, frankly, her time is important and confidentiality is very, very important here in the archive.
But please?
Well, why don't I take you in here to the east wing, and I can show you around, and then we'll see what we can find about Oak Road or about the Covingtons or about the Heartwood or whatever we can find, and we can keep looking after you're gone. I mean, but let's just head on over into the east wing.
I have one more thing for you. I forgot. Talking about Oak Road, I also forgot. I do have the name of a city or a town or a bridge, maybe, called Cohen's Crossing. So that's another thing to reference with the Covington family.
Cohen's Crossing.
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, tell you what. Why don't we go on in? You guys can have a seat. He looks around. He sees that the other archivists here in the lobby area are all busy. He says, I'll be your archivist today. So come on in. He opens the door, and he walks into the east wing and beckons you
all
to follow.
Is that because you're getting pretty comfortable with his voice?
He was going to shove us off.
I'm going to shove us off to somebody else and come up with a new voice.
He's like, the research isn't here. It's at Bill's house and Jim's house.
So dumb.
I love it.
He opens up the door. It's this big, massive double door. I described it last time or the time before. It is this beautiful building. It's this split round tower with this smaller square lobby in the middle. So one half of the round tower is on the east side, dedicated towards history and how humanity has affected the world. And then the west half tower is dedicated to nature and information about the natural world. As he opens the door here to the east wing, it opens up into this large room. You can see there are these long tables. They're easily 25 feet long. There's two of them end to end. And you can see there are books and scrolls and maps spread out. You can see there are people sitting who are doing some research. Beyond that, as you move further east in the room, you can see there is this pedestal and this massive globe, which you assume represents the world. Behind that, there are these windows, these tall, pointed cathedral windows in this building. You can also see that to the north and to the south, there are these chained off research areas, these small rooms. They're about 20 feet by 20 feet. There's a small table in the middle, and then they are lined with bookshelves. And each of the entries into these little nooks, these little rooms, is chained off. It looks like you need an archivist to accompany you to go into those specific rooms.
I bet I could pick any lock on these chains.
Oh, I bet you could, yes.
Don't say that in front of him.
the chains? Well, I don't appreciate your tone.
But then how will he know I'm good at lockpicking?
So if he waits around long enough, he'll hear it from you yourself. There's also stairs. As you guys came into this room, you actually came in kind of under a staircase. There's these stairs that go up to a second level. And you can see that the center of this room is open all the way up. But there are like balconies that go around the outside of the room. And it's easily four stories high of more of these nooks with these bookshelves and these tables. You can see there's other little desks set off. Just basically anywhere they can find a place for either research or to sit down and look at a book or to write some notes or whatever, they have used it. But it is still this beautiful building. The tile work on the floor is this gorgeous kind of repeating blue and black pattern. This is a very elaborately well-built and well-made building. And now you can understand why it may have cost you 2 platinum to come in here and get some research done.
You mentioned there's a globe on a pedestal.
Yes.
In this campaign, do we know that the world is round?
I don't know. Do you?
is the world round?
You're not sure, I guess, that this is that is this world. It could be the moon. You're not sure. And the moon looks round in the sky.
I'm pretty sure we already did all the flat earth jokes in the last campaign.
Yeah. But it's been at least 100 episodes.
It's never enough, though. It's never enough.
Wasn't it in like the 20s, episodes 20s or 30s that we were at the library learning this in the last campaign?
As a matter of fact, yes, it was.
Libraries are just a great place to question things, you know?
Hey, I just realized, everyone, we made it into the back room of the library where all the important information is, and we didn't even have to solve a puzzle.
Yeah, you know, Pavantas was a really weird place.
Mogrim holds up his hand to do a high five. All right.
Has Mogrim showered yet or taken a bath since the sewer expedition?
Well, why do you ask that? That seems like a strange question. That's oddly personal.
Gee will just wave to Mogrim.
Ornan's swatting the flies around Mogrim.
Oh, gosh.
I love that there's a map of the city on the table right there.
Oh, you saw that? Yeah.
I was going to say that, too.
Yeah, as you guys are looking around this room, Professor Ironspark kind of looks around. He spots, like, one of these nooks on the second floor and says,
well, you guys can just hang out here. Just don't get in anyone's way, and I'll be back. I'll see what I can find here shortly.
And he goes up the stairs to this second balcony, and he disappears from sight. And you guys are now left here in the...
I'm just laughing at Gee immediately walking over.
Okay, so here's so before you guys do anything else in here, I'm going to have you guys make perception checks. Except for Mogrim, you spot everything.
Gee rolled a 10, so I don't know if I noticed those two cute girl tokens sitting next to each other at a table.
Ornan got a 5.
Oh, God. Sylvie got a nat 1. Or a 1.
As you guys walk in, you start looking around to see like what there is. I think Sylvie, you are just so overwhelmed with the amount of knowledge in this place. I'm not sure that you've ever seen a place this big dedicated just to books and scrolls. Even in your commune hippie home, you guys had like a library.
It's a converted school bus without wheels, just sitting in a field.
Everybody kind of had their own little libraries, their own collections of books and spells and scrolls and that kind of thing. This is just a massive collection of knowledge. And then, Gee, you do spot... Well, first off, let me explain the archivists. The archivists here, they wear like green or like kind of a off blue cloak, and they wear hoods as they go about their business here in the archive. It's sort of a religious vestment, even though it's less worship and just their uniform. Gee, with your 10, you spot a woman who looks quite attractive. She is probably middle 30s with like brown hair. She's got fair skin. She's talking with another archivist. She's got her green cloak pulled up. They are sitting at one of these tables in the middle of the chamber, and they have their heads together. It looks like the archivist is writing something down as this woman is telling her something. Gee, you start to move over, I imagine, just kind of being Gee. As soon as you're out of earshot, Mogrim, you glance around the room and you spot this woman who is talking with the archivist. You know who she is. You saw her on your first day in Redlam. This is one of the prelates of the Church of Aeona, who was standing by the fire as Jellowyn burned.
Ooh.
This was not the woman who started the fire, not one of the Nivorian magic users. The people who you saw who are following the Church of Aeona, who are using magic, those are a new group of, a new sect of Aeonan worship called Nivorians. And they use the arcane magic against itself. They are the ones who actually were there and started the fire at the behest of the archprelate, the leader of the church here in town. This woman who was standing around the fire, she was not a Nivorian. She did not look like a Vantorian because she doesn't have like tattoos on her face. More than likely, you would think that she is probably of the order of Hemnal. She's a Hemnalite. She is the temple class of worshiper of Aeona. One of those who is a follower of Aeona, but does not travel. She's not a crusader of any kind. But Mogrim, you saw her standing there as Jellowyn burned. You see that she's not wearing her robes of Aeona, which are like black and gold, but it looks like she's wearing some kind of a cloak maybe over them, potentially, maybe to keep the rain off. But you did not spot the robes, but you recognize this woman as Guy begins to approach her.
Yeah, I wouldn't even recognize her. I wasn't there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I forgot you weren't even there.
Yeah, I will move close to Sylvie and kind of lean over and whisper in her ear and let her know exactly everything that you've kind of outlined.
Be on your guard. I do not trust this one. And then I'm also going to kind of wander casually over towards Ornan and say the same thing.
Okay.
Sure hope there's no carpet on the floor here for any static to happen.
Jeez. There's absolutely no carpet on the floor here. Okay, so Guy, you start wandering closer to this prelate, this this Hemnolite of Aeona.
So they're at the table here that, you know, we mentioned the map of the city. They're at the table with the map of the city. So Guy is actually just going to go up right next to them. He's not going to talk to them or anything. But he's, I mean, their tokens are both very cute. So he's going to go over to this map and like lean over, like hands on the table, and just like start studying the map, but like in like a hot pose.
A hot pose.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So, Guy, I rolled some perception checks. Guy, as you go over and you put your hands on the table, you see that this archivist is just scribbling away on her paper, and this woman, she stops what she's saying, and she turns around to look at you, and she says, excuse me? Can we have some privacy, please?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was just admiring this map of the city. Look at the illumination work. It's exquisite.
Oh, gosh. What kind of a... So you're trying to make like a good impression.
Did you just say a good impression while you were burping?
That's the best way to make a good impression.
So you're just trying to make a good impression. Why don't you make just a persuasion check just to try to persuade her that you are not doing exactly what you're doing.
It rolled with advantage, but I'm not holding the scepter currently, so I'll just take the first roll, which was a 23.
Good call to not hold on to your scepter while approaching women.
Oh my gosh. As you say that, she kind of squints one eye at you, and then she reaches over and she grabs a corner of the map and she pulls it off the table and hands it to you. She says, here, we're not using this. You can have it.
Well, thank you. And I will, I don't know, strut, saunter? What do you call that, like, sexy walk away so that...
I call it everyday living, man.
Yeah, I'll just try to... I'll walk away cool. Like, you know, give her a chance to check out my ass.
As you walk away, you don't look back because, you know, cool guys don't look back. Everyone else who's watching this does see that she immediately turns back to the archivist and they begin talking and writing again as Guy walks away.
Still got it, Guy.
What is everybody else doing here in the archive? There are archivists moving around, looking in different books and making notes and everything. As you guys kind of wander past them, they'll give you a little nod, but they are on their own separate tasks, so they don't welcome you or really even talk to you at all.
Sylvie's definitely moving to the far side of the room away from that woman as soon as Magram pointed her out.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I would try to, like, get close to Guy so that way I could whisper into his ear, kind of telling him who that woman is and encouraging him to kind of be on his guard.
Yes, but hear me out. I could also be a spy. You know, get in really good with her and then, like, find out useful information from within the sex of Aeona.
Did you just say the sex of Aeona?
Remember what happened sure last time when you were sleeping around?
You sly dog.
I said S-E-C-T-S.
Oh.
Ornan, what are you doing?
Last time I was sleeping around, it was with a caravan driver, and everything's worked out just fine.
Well, I was talking about the Lady of Fall, but yeah.
Yes.
Flash sideways to Ryla is up in your bedroom trying on your clothes right now. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
She gets her hair cut to look like me.
God.
She cooks the pet rabbit.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Arnon, what are you doing here in the archive?
I want to follow the archivist with my eyes and see if I can't see any details about, like, where he's going up there or if there's anybody, like, who he's talking to.
Okay.
I get the idea that the person he didn't want us to talk to or didn't want us to approach is, like, clearly upstairs, like, right where he went.
Gotcha. Okay, well, as you kind of, like, move out into the center of the chamber so you can look up and you can see where he goes, make a perception check.
I'm not great at this, so I probably won't succeed. Ornan got a natural one.
With a natural one, as soon as he's up the stairs, he's so short, you can't see him over the railing. You have no clue
I'm
where he goes.
So short.
You lose your sense of object permanence. Like, where'd he go? Where did he go?
He doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's
Ornan
so funny.
Is so bad at peekaboo.
Oh, my gosh. All right. You guys are in here. You're waiting for Professor Ironspark to come out. As you guys are just kind of hanging out, you see that out of one of these nooks, you see a man, an elvish man with blonde hair. It comes out of one of these nooks accompanied by an archivist. He turns around and he thanks her for her time. And then he turns around and begins to walk out of the room towards the doors on the west side to leave the building. Mogrim, with your perception, you see a face you recognize. You see this blonde-haired elf man, probably in his middle years. You see that there's beginning to be some wrinkles around his forehead and around his face. You also know instinctively that there is a scar on his cheek below his left eye. You know, because you gave it to him.
Ooh.
This man's name is Elion. Elion Swiftblade.
Not swift enough, apparently.
He begins to move out of the room. Mogrim, I need to know right now, what are you going to do? This is a man that you would know was in Krahenest. Is he still? That you don't know. This is a man you would know was a night owl, one of the researchers of Krahenest. This is also a man that you spent multiple nights staying up late, talking about theories and ideas that you had. This is a man who thought similarly to you. And this is a man you have not seen in, what, 20 years? 25 years?
Yeah. Interesting.
So what are you going to do?
I guess, first of all, do I see anything like insignia that would indicate like a pin of the crows or anything? Like, is he wearing a black leather ulster cloak? Like something that would be indicative of somebody who's still active in that group?
He is wearing like a thick woolen cloak. That's kind of what's going on right now in general, just because of the rain and the cold weather. It is fantasy autumn. This time I'm going to have you make a perception or investigation check to spot that. Whatever he's wearing, it would be underneath this big, thick, like grayish blue cloak he's wearing.
Got it. It probably makes sense to do it as a perception check.
Okay.
Non-natural 20.
As you look, you see just a kind of, as it gaps as he's walking, you can see as the cloak opens up, you can see that there is a long kind of black leather flap of fabric underneath as he walks. Something leather and black is peeking out from underneath the cloak, which could very well be an ulster coat.
Okay. Okay. Oh, gosh. I mean, so Mogrim's inclination is going to be to try to hide a little bit, but at the same time, he's very curious at seeing somebody who was probably as close to a friend as he had during some of his days in the Krahenest. And so I think he's going to not hide his presence, and if the guy sees him, then he'll let it happen and try to chat with whomever this is.
Okay. I will say this.
none of your memories of this man are bad.
Yeah.
Right? This is not one of your rivals or anything. This was a member. He was in your cohort. Like, this was like a confidant, potentially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not going to try to hide, because his passive perception was only a 13. So, all right. As he moves to leave the room, he starts walking towards the door, and he spots you in your black ulster coat with your wide-brimmed hat and your... What's your rod called again? And your toning rod?
That one's usually tucked into, like, a pocket inside the coat.
That's where I keep my toning rod, too. He spots you, Magrim, and he says,
Victor. Victor Magrimsky.
Elian?
He looks around the room, and he hustles up to you.
Why are you here in Redlam?
And then he, like, shakes his head, and then he, like, puts his hands on your shoulders and pulls you in for a hug. And he does, like, the whole, like, fist on your back, bam, 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 like, three big, like, hits on your back.
A bro hug.
A bro hug, yes. A little bit more ceremonial as well, something that you may have done in Krahanest.
Yeah.
A little secret handshake.
And then he backs up, and he holds you by the shoulders. He's like,
Victor Magrimsky, I did not expect to see you ever again.
Well, why is that? What have you heard?
I heard you were dead. I heard you were gone. I heard...
He looks around the room.
I think we need to speak.
Yes. Perhaps that would be good. Do you have time now, or should we meet sometime later?
I will always make time for a comrade. But we should probably speak in private.
He looks around the room at some of these alcoves. He says,
Perhaps we could commandeer one of these for a time.
To that, Victor would kind of nod and, like, raise his hand, like, lead the way.
Okay. So Elian, he goes walking back to the alcove that he was in and past his archivist. Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay. He says to the archivist, he says,
Pardon, I just need to look up one more thing. You are not needed. I will be fine. And please, just a little privacy.
And the archivist, she looks at him a little bit weirdly, but then she nods, and then she continues to walk down towards the table, starts spreading out a lot of papers that they were talking about. And then Elian moves back into this little alcove that he was in before. There is a small table set in the middle. There's not chairs in here because this is like there's these tall bookshelves all surrounding this alcove. And so this is a place where you would go and gather your books, then you take them back out into the middle, and then you can sit in the middle of the chamber to speak.
As Magrim goes in there, Guy will go up to Sylvie and say,
looks like Magrim's faring better than I did.
So Guy and Ornan and Sylvie, you guys watch Magrim. He didn't say anything to you guys. He just walked off with this man. I want you guys to make perception checks as well as you see him talking with this elf, Elian Swiftblade.
All right, Sylvie got a 16.
Ornan got a 4.
Guy got a 13.
All right. Sylvie, you're the only one who spots this. As they move past, Sylvie, you see, just as it catches the light on the left cheek of this elven man, you see just the shimmer of some scar tissue.
Left cheek.
Not butt cheek. You see the shimmer of some scar tissue, a very thin, long scar underneath his left eye. And then they move into this alcove to have this conversation. Magrim and Elian here in this alcove. So Elian says,
Magrim, what brings you to Redlam? Why are you here?
And he looks at your clothes, because this is kind of the uniform of the Krahanest, right, that you wear still?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit adapted. It's not as, like, there's no insignia or anything like that, but it's just so darn practical that Magrim still uses it.
Gotcha.
I've mostly been traveling about... using my skills as a physician to find employ wherever I can these days. How about you? What brings you to Redlam?
Work. Work for the Krahanest.
Ah, very good. Are you doing research then, or...?
I don't do as much research as I did before.
Oh.
With your passive perception,
you see that on his hand, he's wearing a ring. And the ring has an insignia that is not an owl like you would expect it to be. Now he is wearing a ring that has a hawk in flight.
Got it. I'll be honest, I notice your ring here. I take it you have aligned with a group of Nighthawks for the Inquisition here. Is that correct?
No, not so much. It's not the Inquisition I work for. I don't, at least not currently. I'm here to clean a stain on Krahenest's reputation.
Mm-hmm. This sounds serious.
Yes.
Is there anything that I should be aware of or anything I could help with?
There is a man here in town who has given us a bad name. And we believe that he is the leader of a crime organization here in town. A man named Calum.
How much would you pay me to take care of that problem?
I understand. Well, I guess best of luck with this. Have you any leads, or is this individual, this Calum, giving you a run for your money?
We cannot seem to find him. He is buried deep. Deep. Under the earth as well as behind bureaucracy.
Yes. Yeah. Indeed. Well, buried or soon to be. But either way, it sounds like a very challenging thing to chase somebody who is basically a ghost at this point.
You were a ghost too.
Well,
I thought you were dead, and yet here you are.
Yes, well, yeah.
Margaret, make an insight check.
Okay. 17.
Every time Elian talks about he thought you were dead, there's something about the way he says it. There's something about his mannerisms as he is speaking with you. And with your 17, it took you a while to place it. But with your 17, it now clicks into place. He is stalling. You have done research with this man. You have, you've pored over books with him. You can see that right now his mind is going a mile a minute, and he is trying to figure something out. And he is here talking with you now. What does Margrim do?
I think kind of sensing the fact that this guy's trying to kind of burn time, I think Margrim starts to feel uncomfortable. And he starts to say, well, I should probably be going. My companions over here, they'll be needing me. I may have a hint, perhaps, of this Calum individual that you seek. I had heard rumors of somebody seeming to match his description. I can always point you in that direction if you need that help.
Any help would be great. Where are you staying?
Oh, well, we'll be actually probably moving out of the city here very shortly. But if you go to the dockside area, there, I had heard rumor that someone was seen entering some of the sewers. And I believe that it's possible that if there is an individual who is hiding, if you will, they may be found in a place like that. Of course, you could always speak to the constabulary, but I do not believe that that is something you would do.
He senses your apprehension and your unease. And as you mentioned that, you're going to leave, you finish this talking about going to the sewers and that kind of thing. And as you turn to leave, or as you turn to say goodbye, he reaches out. And with an iron grip, he grabs your forearm. And he says, Margrim.
Elian, I was dead once, and it is probably best that I stay that way.
You know that you can see he's like biting his lip, trying to figure out what to say. Do you pull away?
I don't pull away immediately. Probably without looking backwards, I would say,
my brother, it is good to see you. All things being what they are. And then I will pull away from him.
Okay, we're going to make opposed athletics checks as he attempts to keep a grip on you.
Ooh, okay.
It's a pretty good roll.
Oh. Yeah, this is not going to be good for me. Yeah, I got a nat one for a zero on my athletics check.
You know, you remember Elian as being, you know, kind of bookish. You guys actually did your sparring together quite a bit. You guys were, I would say you're probably around the same skill level with the blade, at least in your younger days. You don't recognize a blade on his hip, but you attempt to pull out from his grip, and he is strong. He rolled a 16. It's like a 21 or a 22. You cannot break free of his grip. And he says, I am not after you today. But I feel I need to warn you. Now that I know you are still here, you are still alive, somebody will come for you. I understand you were dead once, and now you are alive. You also know I must pass this knowledge on.
I know that you have to pass this knowledge on. I wish it could be different. Thank you.
What happened to bros before crows?
Oh, man, that's great.
Oh, that's legit. Yeah.
He looks you in the eye. I hope that it is not me who is sent for you. And then he pulls you in very, very tight, and he gives you another one of those three-hit hugs. And then he lets you go.
I will hug him back, and then I will turn and walk out, and I will go up to Sylvie and say, we need to leave now.
I fully agree.
Elian is walking out of the archive past you. He does not look back at you. And Elian is gone. What were Sylvie, Ornan, and Guy doing during that conversation as you guys see Professor Ironspark coming back down the stairs?
Sylvie is buried in the scrolls, just doing anything she can to not cause any attention to be drawn from that priestess over there.
Gotcha. Well, actually, as Professor Ironspark approaches, you see this prelate of Aeona stands up. She shakes the hand of the archivist, and then she begins heading her way out of the archive as well.
As she starts to walk away, Guy, who has been over by the globe looking at it for a while, will just kind of like call over to her and say, hey, ladies, did you see somebody painted a map on this ball over here? Isn't that weird? It's crazy.
It's wild. Oh, my gosh.
How did she react to that?
Oh, you actually did say that?
Of course I did. He doesn't know the world's round.
Make another persuasion check.
Come on.
Oh my gosh.
That's a 26. That's a natural 19.
You see that they both stop. The archivist kind of looks over at you and gets a small smile on her face. The prelate, she looks back over at you, and then she gets this like half grin and then just shakes her head and walks away. You think that you made a good impression.
Yeah, finger guns as they walk away.
Gotcha. All right. As Professor Ironspark approaches, you can see that he has got a book in his hands. Mogrim, you have finished your conversation with Elian?
Yeah, if it's possible, I want to try to whisper to each of them and be like, we need to leave now. I have been compromised. We need to leave.
If you want, I can stay behind and get this information, and you can go. I can make my way to the druids afterwards. If somebody else wants to stay with me, we could split into two. Splitting the party is always fun.
Never been a problem.
Never dangerous.
As Professor Ironspark approaches, the archivist who was helping the prelate moves away from the table and back into a nook as she is looking for more books to continue her research, leaving this table unattended. And as Professor Ironspark approaches,
Ornan would like to peek at the table.
Okay.
I'll talk to Ironspark.
Okay, so Guy, you're going to talk to Ironspark. Sylvie, what are you doing?
I think Sylvie is kind of just going to be keeping an eye on the door and making sure that that priestess doesn't come back in, and kind of just scanning the shelves, seeing if there's anything interesting.
Okay. You can make a perception check. Ornan and Mogrim, what are you guys doing?
Ornan is looking at the table. I kind of want to see what that prelate was researching, and then maybe ask some questions of the archivist when she gets back.
Okay.
Yeah, likewise, I was going to help Ornan and just kind of scour the table.
Be smooth about it, guys.
Okay.
Oh.
Jeez.
That was impressive.
That was not my first either.
No, we heard it. We heard the other ones.
You know, I also have farted before, actually.
Oh my god.
Not my first rodeo. Hey.
As Professor Ironspark approaches, he has this book in his hands and he says, Oh, where's everybody? Well, I guess I can talk to you. And he begins talking to you, Guy. I need investigation or perception from Ornan and or Margrim, and I need stealth from Ornan and Margrim.
Oh, we both?
Okay, now you guys can help each other be stealthy. That's fine. So I need one of you to roll stealth with advantage and one of you to roll investigation or perception with advantage.
I'll do the investigation roll if you don't mind helping with the stealth roll.
Cool. I have a plus one. This is going to be great.
I got a 23 on investigation.
Okay.
I got a 19 on stealth.
Oh, nice. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Dynamic duo.
Secret stealthy high five.
So, Sylvie, what did you roll for your perception?
Sylvie rolled a 13.
With your 13 perception, this is what I'll say. You don't see the prelate. Prelate is like another name for a priest or priestess. You don't see the prelate coming back in. You do, however, see the archivist that was working with her. You kind of like glance down at the alcove that she is in pulling books. You see like she pulls a book down. She looks at it. She sets it aside like on a table and then stops and just shakes her head. And then I want you to make an insight check. And then she like starts looking through more books.
Oh my god. It rolled on like a 20 and it like highlighted it and then it fell over to 8.
Okay. Oh, all right. So that's what you notice with your 8 insight. Okay. Guy will do your conversation with Professor Ironspark as Ornan and Magrim are looking at these notes. Professor Ironspark comes up to you and he says, "Well, what was your name again, sir?"
"Guy of Grant's Harbor."
"Guy of Grant's Harbor." "Grant's Harbor?" Starts thinking.
"It's not a real place, don't worry. It's a stage name."
I was gonna say, I never heard of Grant's Harbor, but I have heard of Cohen's Crossing.
Oh.
And he pulls out this old book and he walks you over to a table and he sets it down, he opens it up, and inside you can see it's like a book full of illuminated maps. Just of like different areas all around Via Severia. You can see that there's like some sections that are even beyond Via Severia, like out into the Dwarven Kingdom of Drakholm or the Elvish Kingdom of Eldorilis. There's different like area maps or county maps. And he finds one that he opens up and it looks like it is along the river or along a river, and you can see that on the east it says Varia, like the Varian Barony. You know, that's also called the Varian Marches. It's the easternmost you can go in Via Severia before you start getting into the mountains. And in the northwest, it says Pythria. And he shows you this map, and the closest like major city you can see is called Vralina. But if you follow this road west and south, the road crosses a river, and you can see this small little dot on this river where the road crosses the river, and it's called Cohen's Crossing.
This is all I could find on Cohen's Crossing. I'll continue to cross-reference and see what I can find, but I think this is a good start. It looks like it's sort of I don't want to say no man's land, but it's kind of at this corner between Pythria, Varia, and Loxania, even kind of Rovia a little bit, but I think technically it's Varian Barony.
Okay, all right, that's a very useful information.
Can I make a note, or like at least a mental note of where that is on the map, so that try to find it potentially later?
Yeah. I already put a blip on the wiki.
Oh, nice.
It's hidden. It's secret just for me. But no problem. I can show you right where it's at.
Awesome. Thank you.
As you are talking with Professor Ironspark, Magrim, and Ornan, you guys you guys are like spy versus spy. Like one of you is like sneaking around a chair, the other one's ducking under the table. Not really, but you guys are just so smooth and so sly as you move around. Somehow it works.
You guys are like this, but not really.
When she comes back, I'm going to go, ka-ka, ka-ka. That's how we'll know to hide.
Casual.
Oh my gosh. So
when I make the sound of a male koala, then you know that it is time.
Well, as I imagine, actually, it's more like Ornan, you knock over a whole can full of quills. And as you're bending to go pick it up, Magram sneaks over real quick and takes a peek at what is written on the paper. As archivists come over to help you pick up this stack of books that then you knock over as well. As Magram, as you are looking here at this paperwork, you can see that indeed the map was probably not necessary. It was probably somebody else's research that had just been left out. But what you do see is you see there is this long scroll with notes written on it. So you see that at the top of the paper, it says Town of Oak Road. And underneath it, there's like indent, and it says Old Abandoned Chapel of Kelimvor. So it looks like this prelate is looking for Oak Road and is looking for an old abandoned chapel of Kelimvor. Beneath that, there's a new little tab, and it says Ritual Protection Spells. And then underneath it says Green Leaves for a Protection Spell? ? And underneath that is an answer, and it says Privet. I don't know if you guys recall, I think Magram would remember that in the memory, there were these protective barriers set up on the floor that were green leaves that looked like they should have been aged and wilted by then, but they were still vibrant green. And it looks like the plant that was used for this protection spell, these circles of protection or whatever, is called the Privet, P-R-I-V-E-T.
The street that Harry Potter lived on.
Sure. The next thing you see is... it says, impaled horse symbol on undead guards / servants. And underneath that, it says, ancient symbol of Mirloff. And then underneath that, there's another tab that says, Peter, wealthy human merchant, middle-aged, prematurely gray, said he sold spices, but sold just about anything, even, and then quote, unsavory wares. And then underneath that, it says hired guard, Norton the Brass, dragonborn warrior. There's another little column that says other figures, dwarven priestess of Lathander, Ensley ? Kenku, elf vagabond with a badger.
Vagabond.
Halfling clown Hyuk Hyuk. And underneath that, it says, you might be a mimic jokes.
It says, very funny.
And then it says red haired fairy, and underneath that it says cursed a lot.
You bitches.
Last name on this list, it says Loida. It says young girl, possessed, broke seals, stabbed but didn't flinch. And then you see another note written next to it. It says, it looks like this is what potentially she was writing today. It says, still calls himself Peter. Abnormally long life. No sign of brass dragonborn. Tosca or Rovia? ? Fort Westland or Grunfort? ? Manor on hill over the Mariseth Sea. And the last little tab says slavery? ? That is what you see written on these notes.
Oh man.
Whoa. Is it? Possible to like have you send that as far as the write-up, because I'm not sure I got all the notes for that.
Yeah, me too.
Magram, you can always swipe it.
I'm swiping right now. I don't know. It won't take my card.
It won't take my card.
All right, here you go. There you go. I just sent it to you in Discord. So that is what you spot. Just, and literally as you're reading that, the archivist, you see her start to turn around with an armload full of books. What are you going to do as she starts heading back towards?
I think at this point I've been made by my former Krahness friend. I am seriously going to take the notes and I'm going to bolt.
You are taking the notes.
Yeah. I have those boots of speed on
So oh, I'm you're going like to click... running. You're not going to try to sneak out. You're just straight up like, see ya, suckers.
I'm going to take the notes and I'm going to click my heels and I'm going to dash like the wind.
As you grab the notes, you see that underneath them is an envelope. It looks like they're potentially these notes have been held in this envelope.
Oh, man.
And written on the envelope, as you grab the notes, you see a name written. The name is Prelate Annalise. And then Mogrim runs out of the Prolian Archive.
See you later, sucker!
What does Guy, Sylvie, and Ornan do as Mogrim just bolts?
The Scooby-Doo run, I guess, and goes after it.
You see this archivist yelling out, saying, hey, he took my notes! And you see all the other archivists kind of stand up and like they look shocked and aghast, but before they can do anything, Mogrim is gone. Professor Ironspark is like, what's the meaning of this?
He wasn't with us.
Hey, stop that man! And Ornan's going to chase after him.
Oh my gosh. All right, so here's what we're going to do. So, Guy, you lied. Ornan helped you with that lie.
Yeah, I'll say something better than he wasn't with us. I think I'll say something like, I knew that guy was weird, but I barely know him.
Okay, so Ornan is trying to help you with your deception. It is a high, high roll. We're going to say deception 22. But you can make it with advantage, Guy.
Oh,
I got a nat 20 for 27.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez.
As you say this, Professor Ironspark looks at you.
He's like, that's weird. Anyway.
Professor Ironspark looks at you, and he's like,
you should know that you're not welcome here either for bringing somebody like that here into the archive.
And he looks over at Sylvie and Ornan, and he's like,
you two neither. I'm going to have to ask you to leave right now.
Ornan was running out the door.
I had a question.
I don't think it's something we need to argue about, Guy. Let's cruise on out of here, bud.
Do I need to go get the city guards? I know there's this really hot one named Gardenia, and she'd love to put her boot right up your ass.
Oh, yes.
Wait, where do we sign up for that?
I think we all like that.
Okay, fine. I'll leave. Thank you for the information on Cohen's Crossing. Does this mean you're not going to do any more research on the Covingtons for me?
Make a persuasion check. A lower difficulty. You already paid.
He's like, well, of course I'll keep doing research.
the first one on that is a 25.
Oh my gosh, dude.
He really likes research.
He looks at you and he goes, oh, I can't stay mad at you. He says, I tell you what, you tell me where you'll be and we'll have to meet outside the archive, but I'll keep doing research for you because you paid. And maybe if you're good, I'll let you back in here after things simmer down.
And if he's naughty?
Well, if he's naughty, then...
Is that how you get the boot?
Then you get the boot.
I'll tell you what. I usually will take my dinner at the Black Dog Cafe up near the Docks District.
Okay. He made an insight check of two. He was like, oh, okay, Black Dog. I'll have to look for that. But
it's a lovely little place. Very private.
Well, okay. If you need me, you can leave a note for me at the front.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry for what just happened. It's really weird. People are painting maps on balls back here. Did you know that? This place is bonkers.
It attracts
all weird kinds. Did you smell that guy too?
I imagine Sylvie is like tugging on your sleeve. Like, let's go, Guy.
Seriously, though.
All right, I'll be at the Black Dog for dinner. So if any night this week, if you come by, I'll be able to get the information.
You guys all leave the Prolian Archive and head back out into the city of Redlam. Mogrim, where do you go?
Oh, goodness. Let me think just for a quick second.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, too, with your boots, because you clicked them again, you've only got that power for probably another 5 minutes because you've used them already today. Remember, it resets at dawn.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Ornan was hollering after you. I don't know if that would affect your decision, but and chasing you.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd make it all the way to the Oaken Throne. I think probably what I would do is I would leave and just kind of go around a bend or like just go like hide underneath like some trees or in the bushes just outside and wait for people to come out.
Yeah, you as we're looking at the map of the city of Redlam, the Prolian Archive is just a little bit north of the castle, and then just a little bit north of the Prolian Archive is the Temple of Aeona, and then just past that is the lake. So you're kind of here in the center of the city, where there is some large open areas around all these buildings, these large squares where, from where you're standing, you can actually see like the gatehouse for the Umbral Pike Keep as it kind of goes up on top of this hill here in the center of the city. Yes, you're just going to kind of wait out. You hear Ornan come running out going, what are you saying, Ornan? What exactly are you saying?
When I was in the building, I was saying, stop that man. And then as I left the building, I'll just be hollering, where did that guy in black go? And I'll just wander. I'm shouting to try and get, you know, if he's around so that he knows where I'm at.
Okay, well, you know, because you were saying, stop that man, we are going to make a complete luck check. And we'll say if we get a 19 or a 20, somebody does try to stop Mogrim before he leaves the Prolian Archive.
Blacksmith tackles Mogrim.
Oh,
19 or 20, here we
I'm
go.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, only a 5. Okay, so everyone's like, what's going on?
Whew.
Okay, so yeah, you guys are outside.
So, okay. So what I do is I kind of poke out from whatever bushes or trees I was hiding behind and be like, psst, Ornan, this way. And wave him over.
Okay, Ornan will go over to him. I'm surprised you fit in that bush.
Why, thank you. I might be tall, but I'm also very scrawny, so I can fit pretty much anywhere if I can fold up.
That's a really weird compliment.
Oh, thank you.
As Ornan and Mogrim are having this awkward moment, we see Guy and Sylvie exit the Prolian Archive as well.
So I've been working on this pickup line, Sylvie. What? Tell me if you think it'd work. Dang, girl, you look like you would fit in a really small bush.
I don't think I would say it to any ladies, to be honest.
Guys, we're in this bush over here.
I didn't think you guys could fit in that bush.
Not just anybody can fit in this bush.
Room for two more. It's quite cozy in here.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Mogrim, you better have got some good loot. That was a very unceremonial way to leave. That was an Irish exit.
What did you find in there? What was so important that you snatched it?
Well, there are quite a bit of things. The scroll that the researcher was writing about was all about Oak Road and all of the events. It even named all of the characters, all of the individuals that we had seen in our dreams, that we had been in our dreams.
It even named Badger Lewis II?
I forgot.
There are some significant hints, I think, as to perhaps areas where we ourselves should investigate. But just as perhaps disturbing as it is that these Ionian inquisitors were researching these things, I ran into, an old friend, an individual who is working with the Nighthawks, a different group within the Krahenest who is a little bit more militant by nature. And he is giving me the benefit of giving me perhaps a bit of an advance leave, but they will be seeking me out. And I am compromised. We cannot stay in Redlam for much longer.
Well, we should definitely cruise on over to those druids, then.
Whoever's looking for you, they'll have to step over me first, and I'll bonk them if they try to touch you.
Well, I appreciate that, but these might be quite difficult to bonk, all of them.
You said that lady was a prelate of Aeona?
Yes.
Oh.
She was at the burning of Jellowyn.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You can see the envelope in your hand that you snagged up. It says Prelate Annalise, Annalise.
Well, I think I have an in with her if we need to talk to her more.
No, I do not think we need to talk to her. I think we need to get the heck out of here.
I definitely don't think we want to talk to her.
Where do you think she was getting information? Aren't you curious where she was getting her information?
Well, sure.
Not that curious.
They're very specific. It almost seems like she knows great detail about this Peter the Merchant.
Well, I think I suggested it a couple of days ago, but
I wondered if anyone else had had visions like ours. I kind of said it in jest, but...
Yeah, this may be that answer.
This could be, yeah. This could be the answer.
It could be her, or she could have, like, taken confession or something from someone who does have these dreams. If we want to get to the bottom of these dreams, I don't think we should completely throw out the idea of me seducing that prelate.
I get it, that you want to be the bottom to her. That's fine.
Well, here's what you guys would recognize, too, is the fact that you guys literally just had the vision of what is happening now in the lives of the dream team.
Exactly. And then she's here doing the same thing. Yeah.
She literally just came to do the exact same thing. So the likelihood of her taking a confession, it seems less likely, just your natural insight. So I want to make sure that you guys made that connection.
Cool.
I don't think we should completely throw out the idea of at least approaching Annalise. Maybe me, because, I mean, I'm me, you know. She saw me.
This just, it feels like it would be supremely dangerous.
I think everything we've done so far has been supremely dangerous.
Yes, but we have not openly defied the Inquisitors in such a way.
Well, I haven't yet. I might be able to bluff my way into an audience with her and find out something more.
I can only imagine that ending not well.
Somebody's played D&D before.
Most of my evenings end pretty well.
I mean, perhaps you are right, but I'm curious if with this information and with the visions ourselves, if we perhaps have enough information to move forward, to at least investigate more deeply and to see what in the world is going on with these dreams and with this event.
Perhaps, aren't you able to send, like, letters to people? Couldn't you just, like, write a note in your book and maybe she'll see it?
Well, kind of. She has to actually sign a contract in my book for me to be able to write to
her.
That's
usually not something you ask for on the first date, is it?
I mean, I'm very good.
Oh, gosh.
Perhaps we can consider it. I think for now, let's move on to go and speak with the druids, and we can consider what our next steps are after that.
I'd like to get paid from Gardenia and her people, too.
If it comes down to it and you need to make yourself scarce, I could dress differently. We could go to a different inn and wait for that extra information if you need to, you know, go maybe hide out in Bonner's Row or Greenway Village or just somewhere a little bit away from the majority of the prying eyes.
You know, perhaps that is not a bad idea. Here, pull out the book. I will sign this contract and then I can go and await for you in Bonner's Row.
All right. And I pull out the book and I will cross off the name of Tobias because I can only have three at a time.
So who do you have now? You have Dilar, and now you have Magra.
I have Draven Hartwood, and I have Tobias. So I'm going to cross off Tobias's name.
Okay.
Okay. You hereby agree to, and we'll come up with a quick contract of like, be a good bud, wingman, and in return for that, I will
give you my piss,
offer you gentle reminders about hygiene. Things like that.
Perfect, and here we go. And the signature. And the little heart over the eye for Victor. And we're good.
All right, well, we can all go to the druids together. They're out, you know, they're outside the city as well. But I think after that, maybe we split?
Sounds good. Well, I want to check out that safe house. So
yes, we need to check out the safe house as well. And the researcher, the archivist there, he was going to continue to do research for me because he found me charming. And so I also have a date at the Black Dog Cafe if he shows up.
Maybe Magrim shouldn't go with you for that one.
Yes, I think we just need to be a lot more careful here in Redlam for the time being until we've finished our business. And don't worry, no dilly-dallying. But maybe a couple dalliances.
All right, very good. Okay, so you guys are all heading over to the druids first? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All Right, you guys.
Maybe the silent voice could help hide Mogrim in the city.
Ooh. Perhaps.
As you guys are pondering that, you actually leave the city. You head to the southeast gate, and it takes you out of the city, off cobblestone streets, and out onto hard-packed dirt of Greenway Village. And just beyond Greenway Village, up kind of against this sort of grassy cliff, in front of this massive forest behind it, you see the Shrine of Sylvanus, or Sylvanus, as we like to say.
Do love that anus.
Oh. It's not for everybody.
You all approach the shrine. As you guys recall, outside in front of the shrine, there is this old altar covered in leaves and ivy, and there are these benches around it. There's also some broken down walls from some ancient building, but the actual shrine is behind in a cave built into the cliff. But as you approach the shrine of Sylvanus, you see, standing by the altar, you see a halfling man, a man that you recognize. You see Arnold Harfoot. He's got this trimmed beard. He's got kind of mousy brown hair. He's got leaves and flowers in his hair, sort of like a laurel wreath crown type of thing. He's wearing greens and browns. You see that he does not notice you initially as you walk up because he is busy playing with the cutest, tiniest little piglet you've ever seen in your life.
That is not a little piglet, though.
Bacon That's the same token. I just shrink it down half the size.
Oh my gosh.
That guy moves on fast.
So as you approach, you see Arnold playing with this little piglet, and then he looks up and says, "Oh, you're here. Oh, perfect timing. The others have all convened. They're inside."
Oh, were you expecting us? Like right now?
No, but I told you a couple of days, and you came. I'm glad you came. We'd like to show our thanks.
We're really good at timing, Guy. It's like when we walk in, the scene starts.
Oh, I see you have a new friend.
Yes, he found me yesterday. And he's like, reaches down and like starts patting his head and then picks him up and gives him little kisses and stuff. It's really, really sweet.
And what's his name? Or her name?
Hubert Nine.
Hubert Nine? Wait, Hubert the Ninth.
Yes, Hubert IX.
Okay. Hubertix.
Yes, Hubertix. Well, please, if you wouldn't mind, follow me. I'll take you into the shrine. You can meet the others. Arnold leads you into the cave and down some stone steps and into a familiar room. There is like leaves and grass growing. There's roots that kind of form the structure of the wall of this first chamber here in the Shrine of Sylvanus.
Oh, dude, it's the happy black bear.
He's so happy.
Wait, is that Idris Elba with dreads over there?
What?
I don't think so.
It looks like it a little
it
bit.
Totally looks like him.
Okay, maybe it does.
He looks good. He looks good.
In the center of the shrine, there is this altar, and it's built up on this ancient stone platform. It has the golden icon of Sylvanus, surrounded by candles. Last time you saw this, Jib-Jab was kneeling in front of it, praying to Sylvanus or something, trying to find some relief from their curse. But now they have cleaned up a lot of the mess that was made with the creatures that were attacking. Sitting on benches around this altar, you see six figures, seven if you count Hubertix. You see on the...
Hubertix.
On the left side, you see Arnold you've met before. And to the north of him, you see that there is this dwarvish woman, and she has some ivy holding back her hair. She has a very stern look on her face. Just looking at her, you're like, that woman is ready for a fight. And then to the south of him, you see another man. This man, he's got dark brown skin. He's got hair pulled back, a gray and black beard. But he's wearing a breastplate, and he's got like this green cloak on. And then on the other side of the room, there are three other figures. You see on the northernmost figure is this very, very pale skinned woman with very, very dark hair. She is wearing furs. She's wearing like big like fur mittens. She's got big fur boots. All of it looks like she made it herself. She has like blue war paint under her eyes, and you can tell this woman is not from around here. Just south of her, you see the happiest black bear you've ever seen. There is literally just a black bear sitting on the bench. Looks like he's kind of, you know, black bears will kind of like use their paws to hold things. It looks like he's got a stick and he's kind of chewing on it, you know, just kind of like just being a bear. You know, he's not sitting like a person. He's kind of like rolling, like, you know how bears with their round butt, they kind of like roll side to side. He's kind of doing that on the bench, right? And then the
I love him.
The furthest south figure, you see this white-scaled dragonborn wearing brown and green leather. You notice that this white-scaled dragonborn, his clothes look nicer than everybody else's. Everybody else's looks like, you know, travel-worn, you know, homemade. This guy's, even if they are homemade, these ones are not beat up and traveled in. It looks like this this white-scaled dragonborn maybe doesn't do as much traveling out in nature as everybody else does. But this looks like this is the kind of the druid circle of the Shrine of Sylvanus here in Redlam.
For the listeners in the chat in the background, we're all calling which person we want to sleep with.
To flirt with. This is a PG-13 podcast.
Oh, I mean... snuggle with.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see where it leads.
I was gonna say mittens lady. Dibs.
No, I already called her. I called girl late. With the dragon tattoo vibes.
Dang it. Nobody called the black bear as he's like sitting there and he's like chewing on this stick, right? And he's kind of wobbling back and forth. You're not sure if he's just having trouble sitting in like a human bench or if he's just scratching his butt on the bench, just as black bears are wont to do.
Okay, you can have the black bear. I'll take this Idris Elba-looking guy.
And I get Hubert.
Oh, Hubertix. As you walk in, Arnold stands up and he says, "I would like to present you all with the saviors of the Shrine of Sylvanus. We have Guy of Grants Harbor, Mogrim, Ornan Opalbleacher, and we have Sylvie Everpine."
He will like wave and say, "Nice to meet everybody," and then I'll straight up walk straight over to the Idris Elba guy and just shake his hand and kind of stand there.
As you look around the room, you get different vibes from everybody. Everybody seems very unique. Arnold seems kind of that classic druid look, and even the dwarven woman, she looks more like what you would expect of a dwarf. The pale skinned woman with the blue like war paint under her eyes, she seems dangerous. Right.
Hell yeah, she does.
And then this Idris Elba fella, who Guy seems drawn to, doesn't seem to be necessarily a druid at all, as he's wearing armor. He looks more like a not necessarily a knight, but definitely more of a warrior. As you approach, the white-scaled dragonborn stands up and he steps in to the center in front of the altar and turns to face you all, and he says,
"We are very grateful for all of your help in cleansing the Shrine of Sylvanus. You came in a great time of need for us, the followers of Sylvanus and the defenders of the natural world. I would say thank you." And he turns and motions towards the idol of Sylvanus. "I'm sure Sylvanus is grateful for what you have done as well. But we are all confused as to what exactly befell our shrine. Perhaps if you have some insight, you might share with us."
"We do have insight, and we are hoping that what we share with you may lead to further discoveries, if you recognize anything in the story we're about to share with you.
You just go ahead. He's going to keep interrupting you every time you talk.
Yeah, he keeps trying to talk. I said, "Speak up."
Is this Congress?
"The reason for the cursing of the shrine is not due to any kind of malintent. There was one Jibjab who came seeking the cleansing power of Sylvanus. Jibjab is cursed with apparently a very long life, but also the wild around them becomes far more unpredictable and aggressive in their presence."
You see the dwarven woman stand up from her bench. She says,
"So you're saying..."
Sorry, No, keep going. That's a great voice for her.
Honestly, it's perfect.
So you're saying...
I can't do you need some more stage voice. Direction?
No, because now I'm forgetting what the white dragonborn's voice sounded like, too. You see this dwarf woman stand up, and she says,
"You're saying that this unnaturalness, this wildness, was caused by Jib-Jab?"
"Well, not intentionally."
"Is this a name you know?"
"Intentional or not, it's unnatural. It's wild. It's against Sylvanus."
"And I think Jib-Jab would agree with you. Do you know the name Jib-Jab? Do you know them?"
"It's not a name I know." And then, like, everyone around the circle kind of shakes their head no.
"What about you, Idris Elba?"
All of our patrons want me to do a sleep with everyone run, so that's what I'm doing.
I don't think Jib-Jab, I don't think they, like I said, they meant to bring the curse. I think their curse themselves, and are trying to figure out a way to save themselves.
The dwarf woman says, "I've been following this cursed individual. I didn't realize it was a curse, but it seems they've headed east, and I mean to follow them."
"That's the direction we're headed.
After we get paid by the Baron.
We're heroes of the realm.
Officially.
Or the city. We've even got the key.
The realm. The whole realm."
We even have
a key.
The white-scaled dragonborn. And he says,
"Well, what possible power could have cursed this Jib-Jab? What could have caused something like this to happen, to occur? We seek to understand what happens in nature, and this is beyond all of us."
"If you recall, Arnold, when we spoke before, I asked specifically about shared dreams."
I remember.
"We were hoping that this council could provide some insight. There are stories of individuals having shared dreams, and those stories tell of eight individuals, but specifically four companions, and Jib-Jab was among them, in a town called Oak Road, and the awakening of some great evil. And those individuals who share these dreams, they speak of a child overcome by some evil power that drove her to break sacred barriers and release something that was set behind protective privet leaves, wards of privet leaves."
You see a couple of them nod.
"Are you familiar with a ward that would use that sort of leaf?"
It makes sense, the white-scaled dragonborn says. "By the way, I am Yeffy. It makes sense. A privet is a hedge, a guardian, a wall. A natural wall, so to guard or to
like a
block.
Bush you could hide in."
"Like a bush you could hide in. Yes, Yeffrey, that is very astute."
"Yeffy, not Yeffrey, Yeffy."
"Yes, Yeffrey."
"Oh, are we supposed to hold on to all of our materia? We don't want anything stolen."
"Oh, not Yuffie."
"Not Yuffie. Oh my god." Random name generator, you're failing me again.
When you said Yeffy, I was like, oh, the leader is El Jefe.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Eldarin and El Jefe.
You see the dwarven woman stand up again, and she says, "If you're heading after this Jib-Jab, and I'm heading after this Jib-Jab, perhaps we could travel together."
"It depends. What are your intentions with Jib-Jab?"
"To understand what this curse is and to stop it."
"Well, the more the merrier, you know. We're staying at the Oaken Throne, and we'll probably leave town in the next day or so. I mean, if nobody else says no, you can come right with us."
"The more the merrier."
"We're still debating on whether to buy a boat and put wheels on it or just to get some horses and dogs."
I need to buy another dog. I'm looking for a riding dog."
"We also discussed a caravan, like sane people."
This is true."
Suddenly the black bear stops smiling, and then the pale-skinned woman with the blue like war paint, she goes, you would buy an animal? Disgusting.
Not to like own it, but to be like a friend that'll ride into battle.
That you can ride, you buy
a servant. We found the two members of PETA.
You see Yeffie, this white-scaled dragonborn, says, oh, all right, okay, before we... Your ways are not our ways, and we can't expect everyone to live their lives the way that we have chosen to. But regardless, I believe a reward was in order. And he turns around on the altar, and he picks up something in his hand and turns around and shows you something. He holds up this like bracelet. It's woven of like this raw leather is the wrong word. But it's like untreated leather. It's like this woven
skin.
Wristband.
Oh God, that's way worse.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
it's like hide. It's like hide. It's like a deer hide, right?
Like raw hide.
It's like raw hide. Yeah.
It does what it's told.
It's this woven band, and it looks like it's about the size of a bracelet, and it has a couple of feathers, and it also has like this patch of fur tied to it, and he holds it out for whoever's going to come and take it.
What is this?
It is a boon that we grant to you for helping save our shrine. It is a boon of nature.
What does the boon do?
Nobody's going to take it.
Sylvie will grab it. Yeah.
Sylvie, you grab it. Sylvie, you now have a charm. It is a charm of speak with animals.
You can use
it three times. No recharges, though.
Aww.
What's that bear saying?
He's just over there making grunting sounds as he's chewing on his stick.
They give it to her. She immediately uses all three charges while we're still in here.
How do I use this? Do I just how big is this? Is it just a piece of cloth or skin?
It's just like a woven band, and it just goes around your wrist. As you use one of the charges, you can hear Hubertick saying, "Wait, why am I number 9? What happened to number 1 through 8? And then you hear the black bear saying, "Damn hemorrhoids, gotta can't get comfortable on these stone benches." He's like, "I hope somebody has a picnic basket."
Oh, poor bear.
You now have two charges left to speak with animals. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. Yeffie says, after you take the charm, he says, "Again, our thanks to you for all you've done. And if you present that charm to any followers of Sylvanus, they will know you to be defenders of nature and friends of Sylvanus."
Sylvie, as a forest gnome, can't you already talk to animals, kind of? Not like speak with animals, but I thought you could like communicate with them.
Oh, yeah, you can communicate simple ideas with small beasts.
So you could go have a conversation with Hubert right now.
Is that small?
He's tiny. Look at that guy.
Hubert is tiny.
He is really small. Oh, God.
He's just a little piglet. Yeah, but that's simple ideas, not so much like actually like asking details or anything like that.
You go over and talk to him and he just goes, "La, la, 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 ram you."
Oh, my gosh. All right. As you guys take this charm and as the druids and whoever else is in here, looks like maybe a ranger, potentially like an Oath of the Ancients paladin. You guys leave the Shrine of Sylvanus. The woman, the dwarven woman, having told you that her name is Danan, and she says that she will find you at the Oaken Throne if she decides to travel with you. You venture back out into the rainy afternoon after an already incredibly busy day with at least two things left on your list of things to do for the day. But that is where we are going to stop for tonight.
Jeez.
Whew. Oh my goodness. She joins us. I think she will. We're cool.
So at this episode, I was really playing up my character's flaw of I can't resist a pretty face. Don't worry, I won't be so horny all the time.
Yeah, we're gonna have to dib some. Spread the love.
Oh my gosh. All right, you guys. Well, hey, thank you for playing. You can go check out these maps that we have if you go become a patron at the $10 tier or higher. Also, don't forget there's your neighbor's potatoes that we talk about as our after show where we talk about the episodes, the two episodes that came before. And until we get together next time, we hope you have a great time.